When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, you. That's right. We are back with the You podcast on post-show recaps. That's right, everybody. Episode 1 of season 4 of You is over, but we are just getting started here at the You podcast over at post-show recaps. We are so happy to be here with you today talking about you, and with me, as always, talking about you is the wonderful and talented Marissa Garza. Marissa, how are you?
How are you?
I'm a mess.
Doing great. It's it's a long day, but we're here. And I woke up this morning with a good cup of Joe.
Ooh.
Fired up the coffee, fired up the Netflix, ready to go. Watch this one. Season 4 is here after so many seasons of watching you.
I know.
In the most recent history, we have arrived at episode 4, and I gotta tell you, I'm kind of excited about it.
How excited are you about it, though?
Kinda. Yeah, just... I mean, like...
Just kinda.
I only watched one episode, but I think it set up a lot of good things, and again, I think every season is just amping up the social commentary, and I am here for it.
I'm very excited that this season, and of course we're going to talk about it, but this season takes us to jolly old London town, a terrible accent that I just did, and a reason why the Brits hate us. Yep, that's my voice, everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to do that occasionally because I have something. Who knows what it is? But we're going to work through it here on the You podcast. Mm-hmm. The audacity of doing this show in London after everything that has occurred with
like the revolution? Like, where are we going? Like,
we're going with the revolution. We're going with the Beatles. We're going with Harry and Meghan.
Narrow it down.
Specifically for me and you, Harry and Meghan is the big news that's come out of the greatest of Britons. And and they're doing pretty much everything, including having a stand-in for Soho House.
Yes. That was
which funny. I love.
That was funny. Yeah, I mean, I've never been to London, so I've only vicariously traveled to London through entertainment properties. So
yes,
I am happy to be on this little vacation with Joe in this first episode. I haven't watched the rest of the season. I don't know what happens. Don't make me second guess. That's David. I'm kidding.
No. You'll be happy to be on this little vacation with Joe. And we're happy to have you on this little vacation with us. If you are just getting into you, and you have not seen seasons 1 through 3 yet, and you want to, then maybe recommend that you go to our own feed at postshowrecaps.com/youpodcast, where you can find Marissa and I doing an introduction, and then you can find us doing recaps of seasons 1 through 3. Just for shiggles. Yes. And also for everyone who wants to listen.
Yes. Or if you've had your fill of the past seasons and want to stick with us for season 4, we have like a packed schedule.
We do.
Season 4. So we're covering just the premiere in this episode. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do spoilers. Then we got a feedback. Then we got a death draft. Then we got a part 2 premiere. Then we got the whole thing starts over again. So yep. We will be with you in more ways than one until the end of March. So the feed is going to be something you want to bookmark, subscribe to. Let us know how you like it, because we will be talking about you all of the time.
Please subscribe to the feed and leave us ratings, 5 stars preferably, because we're Capricorns and we don't do well when we aren't being graded.
We do love a good grade. Yeah. That is true.
All right. So why don't we jump into it and start mm-hmm. talking about just overall season 4, episode 1 of You. First of all, overall thoughts before we get into talking about the cast.
He's a changed man. He's totally changed.
Oh, yeah.
He's totally different. Like, changed location. This time it's going to stick. He's totally new Joe John.
Johnson Joe.
I think it's like really interesting that he's like responsible for other humans for like part of the day.
Yeah.
That was kind of surprising to me, but I do like that he's really trying to like remind himself to stay on the path. Like he's really trying to remind himself. It was interesting to see what happened with Marianne. I think overall season 4 started off pretty well, set us up for a lot of stuff that I am excited to see explored throughout the rest of the season.
I think that episode 1 of season 4 was kind of the perfect appetite whetter for all of us who have been just waiting and waiting for this show to come back mm-hmm. and have been wondering what it's going to look like with a bit of a European touch to it. And with all of the previews that we've gotten, wondering what the gossip girlification of this show is going to look like, right? Because we have in this season being introduced the Eat the Rich killer mm-hmm. using cell phones to communicate with Joe.
In a anonymous fashion.
Exactly. And I just love how meta it all is and how they love poking fun at themselves and how Penn Badgley is not afraid and in fact is happy to embrace his old character and his old haunting grounds of Gossip Girl.
XOXO.
Perfect. All right. So let's talk about the cast. We already know that we have Penn Badgley, who's starring as Joe Goldberg, a.k.a. Jonathan Moore, mm-hmm. who is now a university professor masquerading in what looks like an Oxford.
Of sorts.
Yeah. Type university. I mean, the song Oxford comma plays is the first mm-hmm. song of the season, which kind of clues me in. And I always wanted to study at Oxford, actually. That's something I never got to. I guess so. I always keep reminding myself that I'm not dead. I can still
study. You can still study and do things.
but yeah, so that idea is really cool of him just being at like the bastion of old money and success and power within Great British, like, English society.
Well, yeah, because he, like, walked around LA thinking he was, like, one of these people. Like, he walked around LA judging LA, thinking that he was better than everybody else. And I mean, he's still doing that to some effect in London, but he is surrounded by people that are constantly doing that of him, and specifically of him as an American. So it kind of puts him in a different situation, which every season will do, but it's interesting to see how they're, like, dissolving this, the story of season three, and then setting him up for, like, completely new stuff.
Yeah, for sure. We'll try to focus more on the main cast, because the cast this season really got just a bump in terms of the number of characters, like, named characters that there are. I knew that there were a lot of people walking around Madre Linda, and we got to meet some of them, but I feel like there's a whole little group of glitterati that we are supposed to be familiar with. And, you know, they get varying degrees of story development. Tati Gabrielle is returning as Marion Bellamy, Joe's love interest from Madre Linda. And one of the things that the previously on reminded me of was that Love told her that Joe killed her ex.
Yeah, like, straight up. I loved the recap, by the way. I love that the recap was, like, done by Joe, like, telling the story, and seamlessly, like, went right into the start of the episode. But yeah, like, Marianne has this information now. She's not gonna forget it.
Yeah.
And you know, Joe is still Joe at this point.
Yeah, Joe is alive also, which is not supposed to be the case.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Hi, let me tell the world. And he says in the recap, like, multiple times, like, everybody knows I'm dead. Like, everybody
there
knows
was
I'm
a dead. Funeral for him.
Yeah. So I don't know what he thought was gonna happen when he shows up, like, to find Marianne. Like, she's gonna put two and two together. Like, she's a smart lady. She's a freaking librarian.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she knows
librarian.
Stuff.
You need a master's to do that.
Yeah. So
she said so.
You do. Master's of library science.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. His plan was a little off here in trying to reunite with Marianne.
You're saying that unhinged Joe Goldberg had a plan that wasn't thought through that involved a woman.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we have the introduction of Charlotte Ritchie, not as, you know, into the world of acting, but into the show, who is Kate Galvin, who is kind of a little bit of an icy gallery manager, a gallerist. She's suspicious of Jonathan, Joe, Joe John.
JJ. Can we call him JJ?
We call him JJ. I like that. she's suspicious. I wanted to call him Joe John because of it would take too long to explain it joke from the movie The OC, Orange County.
Go with your gut. I'll follow you. I'll follow where you lead.
No one will get the joke. Let's call him JJ. No one has seen the seminal Colin Hanks classic, Orange County.
Oh, I have seen Orange County.
You have?
I have. I'm $10. I will not remember this joke, but okay. I have seen it.
So there's a part. Jack Black is in this movie, right?
He is.
Okay. Correct. And he there's like a fire that he ends up setting at this like college, and the cops come, and they're like, "So what's your name, sir?" And he's like, "My name is Joe Johnston Joe," and he's like, "Your name is Joe John?"
His name is
so yeah, we'll call him JJ. Kate is as we learn throughout the episode, the new unfortunate lady. Who is the object of JJ's affections.
Yeah, like, she's not fully, like, the you yet in episode one, because he's not, like, you-ing her.
He's like, trying not to you her.
But he's trying not to you her, but he's also, like, not you-ing her in his speech. Like, he's not, like, and because of you, Kate.
Right.
Like, he's not.
He almost does you-ing. Several times.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's trying not to.
He's trying not to.
And
but she looks great in green.
Sure. I mean, we can have discussions later on in the season about whether I think this person is cast well. But that's okay. Something we can talk about later.
Okay.
Then we have Tilly Keeper as Lady Phoebe, who is a rich yet chaotic socialite from an aristocratic family. Obviously, she's a lady. And she seems to be kind of the most of all of the rich people. She seems like the most kind of innocuous. Like, she's the most kind of like, you know, she's not mean. She's not, you know, trying to make fun of Joe for his clothes or anything like that. She's the most friendly, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have she's what fine. You expect, yeah. I think.
From an heiress and from a socialite who's been on the pages of magazines since she was 15 years old, apparently. Then we have Amy Lee Hickman, who plays Nadia, who is a literature major in JJ's class. Very intense, very outspoken, has deep aspirations, loves storytelling, and also a woman of color from a working class family who has made it to what looks like the hallowed halls of a place like Oxford.
Are we looking at LE 2.0 here? Is that what's happening?
I think that's maybe what's happening. I mean, there has to be an Ellie or a Paco, or else what are we doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And since there are no longer little boys running around being chimney sweeps, it's going to have to be this woman instead.
Oh, God. Joe is the Mary Poppins in this situation.
No, yes, exactly. then we have Ed Spielers, who plays Reese Montrose, who is an irreverent author whose memoir lifted him out of poverty and got him into Oxford and helped him to launch a political career. And he seems to form a bit of a kinship with Joe right away.
Yeah, they both have crappy childhoods. Joe's like, oh, crappy childhood? I'll be your friend.
Exactly. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and I think his book is called A Good Man in a Cruel World. So it's like Joe could have written that book himself.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, I think that the reason that they get along so well, or at least have such great conversations in the beginning, is because Joe is like, just sees very much of himself in this person.
Oh, yeah. And he's looking for somewhere to take his past attachment with Marianne and attach it to someone new.
So exactly.
In the way of the kinship of having a crappy childhood. And I think it intrigues Joe that he can do that without sexual attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Tied to it.
Question mark?
Question mark? I don't know. I've only seen this first episode. So, you know, there's time for stuff and things.
And then rounding out the last couple that we'll mention, we have Lucas Gage, who you might recognize from The White Lotus, season one. Who plays Adam Pratt, who is an American expat, the wealthy playboy son of a prominent East Coast family who is dating Lady Phoebe and is the owner of fake Soho House.
I mean, he's new money versus the old money.
He's old money in America.
Okay, so like, yes, and thinking about this, I... Of course, in between seasons, I was watching like a bunch of YouTube about you seasons and stuff like that. And it keeps coming back to, and this is something I will keep an eye on as I watch through the rest of the season. But, and I probably have to reread the book. But The Great Gatsby of it all, I think, is really coming into, like, is really being highlighted here with the new money, old money conversation. There's a lady in a green dress. He talks about Hemingway all the time. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out there now, putting that on the field for
you
discussion.
Definitely should, especially given that, and we'll talk about this in a second, Joe's entire role is to teach American literature to
kids.
So you know, this is a show that loves its books and loves its allusions to those books. So and then finally, we have Stephen Hagen, who plays Malcolm, who is a literature professor who is hard partying, drug loving, and introduces Joe to Kate and the rest of the friend group.
Yes. We see a lot of Malcolm in the situation, but yes, he is here.
Yes. Malcolm exists. All right. So why don't we start talking about the season four episode one itself.
Let's do it.
All right. So Joe is posing as a professor at, again, what looks like an Oxford, maybe a Cambridge university. And we get the song Oxford, comma, as I said, to open the show, which makes me think they're leaning more towards Oxford without having to use the name. Mm-hmm. His new name is Jonathan Moore, which for those of you all who read a lot more than I do, maybe there's some literary connection to that name that you all can pull out and let us know about.
Yeah, that'd be good. There's so many books. I've been trying to like keep track of books. And even just in the first episode, I was like, there are so many references here.
I know.
Maybe before the end of our coverage, I'll be able to pull something together.
Some literary references. Yeah. I think that would be cool. I'll help you. Okay. Because there was something that was said during the first episode that I really wanted to write down about like an American who was misquoting a queer poet. And I was like, who is this about? And then I had moved on to the next bullet point. So Jonathan, Joe, JJ, mm-hmm. is a professor now and living in this amazing flat just kind of outside London, it seems, or in like a less busy area in London.
It reminds me of like Roy Kent's neighborhood and Ted Lasso.
Yes.
And also Notting Hill.
Yes. Which he even says.
He references. Yeah.
And Malcolm is the person who rented him this flat. So Malcolm has kind of the adjacent flat to his. And they can see in each other's windows.
Yeah. I don't know why Malcolm wouldn't know this. I mean, but he didn't know this.
Malcolm seems like he's gone around not noticing a lot of things in life. That's, I mean, all I'll say.
Yeah, his privileged, he's like privilege blinded.
Yeah. I was just kind of watching Joe profess, right? And then just thinking about what's going to happen at the end of this season when it's inevitably exposed that Joe was this like serial killer the whole time. Can you imagine if you learned that your professor was an actual serial murderer who had faked his death and killed his wife and gave away his child, and then just showed up to teach you American literature?
I'm not gonna say it hasn't been done before. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, right now, students at Harvard are like protesting because a professor was brought back into the classroom after many numerous charges of sexual assault.
Yeah,
and so like, academia is a whole other thing. I'm really interested in seeing how the writers comment on that, because academia has its own culture that it, could be explored as well. I'm not saying I have experienced having a professor that had faked his own death and killed other people.
Okay,
and then
that's
across
good.
The country. I have not experienced that, but I quite honestly can't say that other people haven't.
Yeah, exactly. So, you learn new things about people all the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Ted Kaczynski was, like, just at Northwestern.
See?
You know?
Yeah. Ugh.
So, yeah, Joe, JJ, is mm-hmm. on what he likes to call a European holiday.
Yeah, which, he's, like, living it up.
Yeah, which makes it sound very, like, Roman holiday of him. Like, honestly, he needs to calm down that he's on a European holiday. It's called On the Run, sweetie. Get used to it.
I love that. Like, I think it's also during this time. Yes. Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to get obsessed
right.
with anybody. But then he's like, the best way to stay out of people's business is to know their business.
To know all like, of their business.
Oh, JJ? Like, yes. What is this?
JJ. the funniest thing about calling him JJ is that Mari's son is named JJ, and so the only JJ that I ever talk about is just Mari's son.
Shout out to JJ.
Shout out to mini JJ, the good one. Like, never stop, never stopping JJ. So yeah, JJ is trying not to, but is, let's just face it, becoming obsessed with the woman who is with Malcolm, named Kate, who lives across in the apartment across from his. Kate Galvin, gallerist, who seems just like a very stoic, upper crust, hardworking lady.
Yeah, of course, JJ finds out about her, like, just like Googles her and finds out all about her life. But also, this is just yet another reminder to close your blinds and your curtains and all of your things to make sure that nobody can see you, because there are JJs in the world. And like, JJs can't stop looking.
Can this just be a friendly reminder to all people?
PSA.
Close your blinds, because especially if you're planning on getting
working
down, working, quote unquote, you know, close your blinds.
Yeah. And what I think is really funny about this is, like, Joe's spent like most of the episode up until this point, like, telling us, you know, like, not my circus, not my monkeys, I'm not gonna go do this, I'm gonna stay on the straight path, all this stuff. And then he's like, why does the universe keep doing this to me?
I know.
And I'm like, okay.
I thought this was not your monkey.
So close, Joe. He keeps walking the line of getting, like, so close. Like, you almost get the point. You're almost there, but not quite.
I believe the song Walk the Line was written about JJ. We get a flashback and to France. And it's interesting the way they have these flashbacks kind of woven in here.
It does remind me of, I think it was it episode, season two? When Candace comes back and we, like, they see her, like, they have a conversation at the diner and it's, like, spread out throughout the whole thing. And that's when the twist happens at the end of the first season. It was very reminiscent of that for me.
Yes. And I kind of figured before the season happened that Marion was going to be in flashback because the tones were cooler than the tones for the rest of the previews. So we get a flashback to France where Joe has apparently gone everywhere to every artist haunt looking for Marion. He finally tracks down some of her work in a place in this open air market in Paris. He gets an email address and is told by the person there that Marion is at an art fair in London. So what does Joe do?
He goes to London.
Yeah.
Also, just another PSA. Answer the question you are being asked.
Yeah.
Like, this lady is like, here is her email address. And also, she's in London at this art festival. And, like, gives him all, like, people don't need a lot of information to find things.
They had to further the plot.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but just for your own safety.
Yeah, just for, like, for protecting the safety of anyone else.
Yes, just answer the question you were
being
asked.
I also just don't, if people seem suspicious, even if I've been told, yeah, give out my email address, I won't do that. Like, if someone comes up to me looking like Joe, all wild-eyed, and it's like, yeah, this artist, I'm really trying to track her down. Do you know where I can find her? I'd be like, nope, never heard of her.
Yeah, or at least, like, send a note. Like,
yeah,
hey
this,
yeah,
this
or a heads
particular
up.
Guy yeah, that took a picture of him is looking for you and now has your email address.
Yeah, and this whole time, Joe's like, well, he's like, I thought how far I traveled would count for something. Like, so still dramatic. So dramatic.
Calm down, Joseph. Jonathan, if that is your real name, we know it's not. So we come upon a scene where JJ is ostensibly following Kate, but it's not following if you have to walk in the same direction.
I did not know that. Did you know that?
No.
Okay.
So Kate gets mugged by a couple of ne'er-do-wells. Mm-hmm. And her watch is stolen, and Joe manages to get into Kate's car and just blow the horn very loudly to draw attention to the situation, so they run away.
To be quite honest, I was very proud of him for that response.
Yeah.
Like, on the level of things Joe could have done.
Yes.
That was, like, one of the best things he could have done. He didn't kill anybody.
Exactly.
He didn't punch anybody. He didn't leave his DNA
right
anywhere. I mean, except for, I guess, like, in the car, but
I was wondering what he was gonna do, because Joe has a hard time restraining his violence.
Yeah.
When he does get violent, it gets, like, Fight Club style,
like,
very quickly.
And I don't know, this might be, I've been watching the show for too long. Do you ever get in this thing where you're like, have I watched the show too long? Am I becoming this person? I like walked away from this going, I need to remember that because that's a good tactic. Like, that's a good thing to do. Yeah, no,
that is a good thing to do. It makes sense, and it means that you don't have to get yourself physically involved in the situation. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when you get yourself involved in an altercation, you're the one that ends up getting hurt more so than the person you were trying to help.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was actually a good call by JJ. And so Malcolm decides to kind of pay JJ back by having him come out with him and his friends that night.
Yes. Yeah. We got to go to the fancy new place in town. And like, JJ is super concerned because he wants to keep a low profile. I think, you know, we learn more as the episode goes on that he's like, oh yeah, like if people find out I'm alive, it's not a good thing. But he had told Kate earlier, like, don't call the cops because my papers aren't in order. And so he really just doesn't want to go out at this point, but he's also, you know, trying to play along and be nice to Malcolm so that he doesn't stand out in that way.
Exactly.
And in this conversation, we also learned like Malcolm's view on people in general.
Malcolm has almost what you would imagine would be the upper crust English view on the commoner, as it were, or the proletariat, as they like to call people.
Like, legitimately calls people the scum of the earth.
Scum of the earth, yeah. That people are called peasants. People are called all kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, what I appreciate about this is, like, if you don't think that people think this way, he's, like, telling you, no, people really do think
they
this
do.
Way.
Yeah, and my favorite thing that Malcolm does is when he gets, you know, a few drinks in and starts to go in about how actually it's the rich who have the hardest time today.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and I love that Joe calls it. He's like, wait, and he's going to say this in 3, 2, 1. Yeah, he's, you know, the rich are the real victims here. And, you know, Malcolm's royal adjacent. So he's, and, you know, rich people built this country. So that just gives him all of these rights. And he's really just like super victimized by the whole situation. Don't you feel bad for him?
I love that JJ was like, yeah, those are builders' hands.
Yeah, I know. I know. It was so good.
This little club is so posh that they end up going to. It's called the Sundry Club. We all know it's Soho House. Mm-hmm. And it is where all of the London glitterati and their friends seem to hang out. And there are actual photographers that are just posted up there to take pictures of the comings and goings of all of these rich people.
I believe they are referred to as paps.
Ah, yes.
From what I learned from my Harry and Meghan watching and reading.
Yes.
They are known as the paps, which makes, like, it's just a little weird because paps can mean other things.
Yeah.
But I think in London, that is what they call them. It's, I don't just know.
It's like earlier when Joe was like, can you explain pants to me to an American?
Yeah.
I even knew what that meant, Joe. So Malcolm has a great line. He has a lot of great lines when he really starts going forward. He's doing a lot of lines. He's having some great lines. Malcolm says, women believing women is the burden of our decade.
Like, and honestly, I had to pause.
Come on.
I mean, I was very happy that the show like put that out there, like as a viewer. That was pretty good because there is a whole conversation that's happening right now about, well, even just in what we were talking about with the professor at Harvard and the Me Too movement and all of this stuff. And I just thought it was, we're just like going right in. It's episode one. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know, we find out what happens to Malcolm. He doesn't have that much time. Yeah. We're just going to use him to get all of these things out of a character. And this is all happening while everyone's getting like super drunk. But we know, because we were introduced to Malcolm before he got drunk, that this is not, he's not saying this because he's drunk. He actually believes that this is like the burden of the decade.
The burden of the decade.
A decade. This decades are why, 10 years, in case just if you need a refresher.
This is why I believe, years. Marissa, that we must always walk behind the men.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Well, I mean, I would introduce Malcolm to a little movie called Women Talking. Or maybe another movie called She Said, but not going to be a factor for very much longer.
I don't know if it would like sink in.
Yeah, maybe not. JJ is having a terrible time.
My gosh, he's drinking so much.
I've never seen him drink this much before.
He's drinking so much, and he's having like absinthe after absinthe. And if you've watched Moulin Rouge, you know. Mm-hmm. Or if you've had absence, obviously, you know. Harry. But Kylie Minogue is going to come visit you.
I know. Like, I can't wait.
Like, he is somewhere else this whole time. And it was kind of interesting how the show kind of let us know that. Like, just these, like, disjointed conversations. All of this stuff. He was definitely somewhere else.
Yes. He often is. But he's getting fed all this absence. And he starts to think back to when he ran into Marion. And mm-hmm. she sees him, and her smile quickly goes to a, oh, no. And then she runs the hell away as fast as she possibly can, which, who can blame her?
Yeah, I mean, good for you, Marion. Good for remembering. I'm glad you were running. I would have run, too.
Yeah, me too. So we get just like a little bit. We are only getting little bits and pieces of how this story goes early in the episode. We find out that somehow, some way, JJ manages to make it home.
Like the most colorful coat. It was almost like JJ's Technicolor dream coat.
Yes, I was literally just going to say that. Well, that's enough for us, folks. Sorry. We're all good. Let's pack it in. We came up with the same joke at the 34-minute mark, so we're done. We did it. Yeah, so he's under his dream coat after a wild night, and he's just kind of like, you know, bopping around, mm-hmm. trying to make mm-hmm. himself some caffeine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does he find mm-hmm. on his kitchen table but Malcolm?
Just a Malcolm.
A Malcolm with a knife in his heart?
Just a dead Malcolm.
And a very missing dead. Finger.
Yeah, and like, do we need the missing digits? Like, can we drop this thing? I don't need any more missing toes.
There fingers. Are so many missing digits.
I am done.
How is he still able to walk and run so well? You'd think he would lose balance.
So many. I don't understand. But yes, he's missing a finger.
Yeah.
And like Joe's super confused.
He's very confused, but the funniest thing about this is that Joe's mind goes to, oh, I must have murdered him. I hated him anyway. So it must have been me who killed him.
Yeah.
I guess I need to immediately clean up this scene and dispose of this body.
Well, okay. So like looking at this from like a trauma-informed perspective, like trauma causes your brain to like create the same pathways every single time. So if you see a stimulus and you're triggered by something, that is your brain like firing that little program saying, okay, this is what we do. So this makes sense to me that Joe's like, oh, a murdered body in my house. I've been here before. I know what this is. I have to go, like, that cleanup program starts. It's very surprising later that he wasn't the person. But to me, I was like, okay, this makes sense. And it also just shows me how, you know, ingrained that pattern is in him.
In him. Yeah. That's the thing that was, not that he would do it, but that it was just so rote for him. Mm-hmm. Like, he just automatically was like, all right, now I guess I have a body to get rid of.
And he knew, like, exactly what to do, where to go, how to handle it. And also, like, while the cops were over. So he had, like, some pressure. The cops were over at Kate's, and he had some pressure going on there. Yeah, I mean, and he had to mentally prepare to drive on the wrong side of the road when he put the body in the car. So that's he had a lot going on.
He had a lot going on. I don't know if I would ever be able to do that. I mean, I probably would. Like, who am I? What am I saying? But, like, the mental preparation after a night out like that, that involved absinthe.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, all right, guess I need to go get rid of this body. And also mentally prepare myself to not only drive on the correct side of the road in this foreign country, but also to do it so well that no one pulls me over.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he must have been on the Amazing Race or something at some point.
That makes sense. Who do you think Joe's perfect Amazing Race partner would be?
Honestly, Ellie.
Yeah.
Or 40.
Like Ellie pre her death. Pre her sister's death.
Yes. I mean. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but or even her sister too. Like any like those two. 40. I think would be good. Or 40.
40 would just be looking for all of the drugs.
Yes. I think it would like yes. I think it would work.
You're like, somehow. That's good television.
Yeah, exactly.
And on that note, we're gonna take a quick break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk body disposal.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. All right. First of all.
Yes.
Can we talk about Joe's baseball cap?
Why couldn't we?
We haven't done so in three seasons.
Oh, then get on it.
Now, this cap has been with Joe since season one. And this is his stalking cap. Mm-hmm. This is his murder cap. This is like literally what it means when like I have my thinking cap on. Like, this is Joe's go-to uniform of sorts when he is up to doing no good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously a signal to the audience, like, this is the mode he's in at this point in time. It also, you know, says look at the people with hats on in your life.
Really?
Like, if someone's been following you on the street and he's wearing a hat,
No, that's fair. I'm gonna be looking at people with hats differently, unless it's like a fashionable hat.
Like, I don't want to be hat
just baseball caps.
Yeah, I like
hatchetist,
like prejudice.
Yeah, hat. No, I got it, but like shittist,
I don't know how to say it. Don't even get me started on how to say things, but
guys.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Was there something you picked up about his baseball hat this time?
No, I just thought that I just love that it's made the trip everywhere he's gone. Like, this is the hat.
Do you think it's like a security blanket type thing for him?
That's why I wrote it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it really puts him in, like, you know, in a mode, like, some people take Adderall to study. Like, Joe puts on this hat and it's just like, all right, it's beast mode time. You know?
Yeah.
It's just very ingrained in him. And I think it's interesting.
It'll be interesting to see if anything happens to the cap. What if the cap blows away? It's very windy.
It is.
I mean, Mary Poppins has to fly in, so like it's very windy.
Mary Poppins flies in later in the season. It's a really special episode.
I don't know if I want to be combining the Poppins verse with the U verse, but we've done it. It's too late.
All right. I think that's actually just how you get Sweeney Todd.
Probably.
All right. So we're back to the meeting with Marion. Mm-hmm. Marion is running for her actual life. Mm-hmm. She tries to get away from Joe. But he tracks her down in an abandoned building and she confronts him about murdering her ex and about murdering his wife. Because she's like, well, you're still here. So obviously you're not dead. So you must have killed Love, right?
So here's the thing. I love Love. Like, I love that this character's name was Love because all of the references to the storyline in this season can be used as the personification of love. So it's like, if Love didn't kill you, well, love the person, love the action, love the feeling. If Love didn't kill you, you killed her or you killed it. Oh, does that mean he doesn't love anymore? You know what I mean? Like, it just adds like a different spin to it. But yes, Marion puts two and two together that there's only one way out of the situation. If your name is Joe Quinn Goldberg.
Very true. Joe says that he'll prove to her that he's not the person that she thinks he is, and he'd never hurt her.
After he, like, pushes her up against the wall to disarm her from her knife that she brought, again, A+.
Well done.
Way to go. But, like, on Marianne's part for being prepared for that. But Joe, like, disarms her, and then it's like, I'd never hurt you.
Disarms her like in a very terrifyingly violent way, kicks the knife away.
Yeah.
I'd never hurt you. You don't need that. It's just like, don't I? Because that hurt.
What are you like? Your words are telling me one thing, but your actions are telling me something different.
And your eyes are wild right now. So I'm a little frightened for my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, he lets her go. And we see that a strange man is bearing witness to them leaving this building.
The stalker's got a stalker.
I always love when the stalker gets stalked. In films. TV shows.
Thanks for the clarification. I mean, I guess
like sometimes I need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Stalker's going to stalk. Yeah. And stalker's going to be stalked, I guess.
Yeah. So we're back to present day times. And JJ has managed to get this body to the perfect place for dismembering a body. Some warehouse.
It's a sawmill. He's like, I know what I'll do. I'll bring this human body to a sawmill where blood could be spattered everywhere because I am not Dexter and I don't know how to do this, so I will just bring the body to the sawmill. And just coincidentally, the one person on staff at this giant sawmill also bad safety, like I don't know what the equivalent of OSHA is over there, but no, but this would not be, you should have at least two people on site at the plant.
Exactly.
But anyway, there's this one guy who is going to go watch a soccer football game. And this gives Joe the opportunity to, you know, take care of business after he uses the query comber search engine to find out how long the game is or where they are in the game. I thought that was interesting.
It's really good. I think that it's interesting because London is the land of CCTV, right? There is not a single spot, even at a sawmill, that you can go that isn't going to be covered by CCTV footage, right? So I don't know how he managed to do any of this without getting caught on CCTV.
Like, yeah, I think they're forgetting about this police state that is constant in this situation.
I know that, like, you know, there's CCTV in the States, but whenever I'm watching any true crime thing about England, it's just wall-to-wall CCTV. Like, they can pick people up off on, like, multiple streets, see exactly where they're going. It's just everywhere. So, you know, just, like, throw caution to the wind, and there's nothing like dismembering a body to Cardi B.
She likes it like that.
She does. I like it like that. Not only does she like it like that, but the Cardi B, the Cardi B, like, love for this show, and then the, sorry, I'm blanking on his actual name, Joe's actual name.
Penn Badgley.
In real life. Penn Badgley. So do you remember from last season how Cardi B was like, I love you? And then Penn Badgley was like, I love you! And they were like really cute on Twitter. So I love that this song was what he was dismembering the body to.
And actually, I think the You Twitter account today retweeted a Cardi B thing.
Amazing.
So yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, it's just fun internet diving. Then we get a glimpse back in time again to the Marion and Joe storyline, and we meet Elliot Tannenberg, who is employed by Lee Quinn, Love and Forty's father. And Elliot is there to kill.
The tennis fan. Yes, the Uber tennis fan.
The Uber tennis fan, who also happens to be very rich and hires murderers and assassins. He is there to kill Joe. And he was the person that witnessed Marion and Joe together as they were leaving that building. Elliot says that he's tired of all this. He's tired of this life and he doesn't want to hurt anyone anymore.
I don't want to kill anybody anymore. Yeah. I'm done.
I don't want to kill.
he still wants his money though. So he's like, listen, I'm not going to kill you, but you got to make it look like we did something here.
And so he's like, you remember all that money that you emptied out of that bank account that Love had that you weren't supposed to know about? Well, I know about it and I would like that money. And also, here's some Deus Ex Machina fake documents for you.
Yeah, I really was like hoping Will Bettelheim was going to be involved in this part of the story, but it was Elliot just giving
him busy.
A new... Yeah.
He wasn't available.
In the Philippines, living up his life.
The actor was not available, I bet. So in comes Elliot. So Elliot says, all right, but here's the catch. Marion knows that you who you are and that you're still alive. So you're going to need to kill Marion. And then we're square. Bye. Okay, thanks. Bye. Is actually how it ended. So we're back to the present day and JJ is returning the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat back to the Soho House stand-in and runs into Reese, the author of that book that Joe loved.
Like he says, this must like one of the best books I've ever read.
Yeah.
And I think he's like a little bit biased and blinded by personal experience in this situation.
Very much. Yes.
But yes, he's, you know, trying to strike up conversation and also finds kinship in the fact that like Reese kind of sees this new group of people that JJ has found himself surrounded by as like not the right group of people for him. Like they both see that group in the same way.
Yes.
And Reese tells JJ, like, JJ goes, heartbreak is always a catalyst to a new path. That was like the best part of the entire book for me. And Reese is like, so cool. That was a lie. Like,
I know. I love that part.
But Reese can see that like Joe has had like a super hellish life, and even says like part where like people that have surrounded you haven't survived, you know. Yeah. And so Joe's like, well, this whole thing starts also ties back to the beginning of the episode when Joe's teaching in class and talking about a short story that talks about redemption and whether redemption is possible. And so Reese is like bringing up redemption again here, saying redemption is possible as long as you don't run away from yourself and face it all no matter what. And this is the closest I've heard to like an actual healthy perspective on life from right? any of the characters from the show. So it's really exciting to see if or how close to this JJ will get, but it's right. nice to know that the perspective is in, it's here now. This perspective, there's an awareness of this perspective in mm-hmm. this character's life. And yeah, so Reese seems like he's got his head on his shoulders. He's definitely a capitalist. He wants to make money, and he goes to Berlin, and there's probably more to him than I know at this point. But I thought this whole conversation was really interesting.
It was. Reese telling Joe, try to do a bit of good going forward to try to counteract the bad things that you've done. And as long as you commit to never run from things and face them head on, then you're mm-hmm. doing okay. And
I found that to be true in my own life. So,
I mean, you know, does that sound like taking responsibility for yourself 101? Sure. But I guess when it comes from the mouth of a noted author that you look up to, who you feel mm-hmm. might understand your life experience a little bit, it probably mm-hmm. carries a lot more weight.
Yeah, it's like Tina Turner is my, like, Tina Turner and Jane Fonda are the people that I look up to. And if they told me,
ooh, I didn't
you have
know
to
that.
Wear... yeah. If you have to wear pink...
Nah, I love Tina.
Like... The secret to life, Marissa, is wearing a pink sock. Just one pink sock. I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's like, correct. I will
how
do
many
this.
Pink socks can I buy from Amazon today?
Yeah. But I think like at least it has Joe's ears open here because yes. it's coming from Reese. And I think there are other characters that have tried to tell him this throughout the series so far, but nothing is clear as don't run from yourself. Face it all.
No.
Go from here.
Exactly. Maybe they're seeing something within each other that would like lead Reese to give Joe that information, that particular piece of advice there. But I guess we'll see going forward. Mm-hmm. So we go back again to the flashback to the Marion storyline. And we see that through a series of events, Joe manages to steal Marion's necklace, which he takes a picture of and sends to Elliot to prove that he took care of the problem, that Marion will not be an issue anymore.
Yeah. And he says, I let you go to show you I'm not what you think. I'm not a killer.
Right. I did.
But I am a very good
show you that
pocket.
I am, yeah. I did murder you to show you that I am not a murderer. That's yeah, how you know I'm not a murderer. I didn't murder you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was saving you. By putting you on this train. I think it's interesting that she is alive. I did kind of expect for this to be, you know, not something that looms over future episodes, but that does make it quite intriguing that there are two people, because we've got Elliot and Marianne, that know about Joe at this point.
Yeah. And also Ellie. But Ellie's too busy making that Wednesday money to appear on this season, I've read. Oh.
Also, shout out to Edgar Allan Poe, who showed up in this episode as well, because they're going to read Telltale Heart in class.
Oh, right. The beating of the infamous heart! That,
I wonder if that was like a little shout out to Jenna.
That's very cute. I like that. I hope so. I hope that's what that was. So we find out that JJ is invited to a dinner with the friend group that was all spending time at fake Soho House. And just as he is going into this dinner, he starts to receive creepy text messages that disappear after a few seconds. It's like a more cinematic signal, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, hello, you.
Yeah.
You surprised me handling Malcolm like that. Like, what? And like, I mean, huh? He asked like a really great question. How did this get on my phone? And I have to assume it happened like during that whole like absinthe binge. Because
he was looking for his phone and he, at some point, and he was like, where is my phone? Which is why I was confused when he woke up the next day that he had his phone.
Yeah. And I feel like this definitely has Gossip Girl vibes, but also has a little bit of like an Agatha Christie.
Yeah,
because it's very like, who put this on my phone? And then you see every single character that was there, and that's like a definite, like, to me at least, it had me thinking Agatha Christie right away, because it's like, okay, now we have this mystery on top of it, and it's with a group of people, and they are all very eccentric, and they come from different places and stuff like that. But yeah, these messages sound like something like that past Joe would have said.
Exactly. It's very creepy. It's and I do love the way it sets up kind of the going around the table during the actual dinner to look at all of the different cast members and wonder, is the killer in this room right now? Which one of these people would have the motive, means, and opportunity to do this?
Yeah. And also, like, the whole Malcolm question of it, like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And also, like, now that this person knows that Joe can handle things like that, will Joe get manipulated into breaking his new code of conduct? His not my circus, not my monkeys ethics? I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
I don't know.
But I am loving it. I am loving the commentary on classism. I am loving the commentary on the monarchy and just like upper class, new money versus old money. Again, very big Gatsby vibes there. I'm excited to see what happens in the rest of the season. I am kind of interested what the experience is going to be having this split, because my experience watching you has been binge all the way through. So I don't know what I'm gonna do with that break. I'm grateful I'll be able to talk to you and talk to everyone on the podcast about things in the meantime.
Thank
we're holding out for it. But I think this first episode did a pretty good job setting up some new things for JJ.
Yeah, a lot of new things, a whole new world really.
Yeah.
For JJ, and a really exciting way for this first episode to end, a really exciting way to set up what we're going to get this season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of, it's time to just kind of tuck in and get ready for some escapades with this friend group, doing all of the classic, like class laden traditional things that people in England would do if they had this level of money and this level of, I guess, notoriety about them. Yeah, it's just all very exciting to see what's going to happen next.
I can see Joe thinking like he might know how to navigate this world because of the time he spent in Madre Linda and like all the time he spent with the Quinn family. However, I think he will soon find there is a big difference between America. It's like on Downton Abbey. Like Cora was like new money, but like the Downton Abbey family people are like old money aristocracy. And there's a big difference between the cultures of those two groups. And so it'll be interesting to see him try to navigate all of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great season, I think. I think it's very interesting that we get it in these kind of 5-episode bites as well. I truly do not know what I would do either if it weren't for you and our listeners being able to hang out and talk about things coming up in the next couple weeks.
It's because you therapy, you support group, you.
You
who.
You woo. All right. And that is season 4, episode 1 of You.
Yeah. I cannot wait to start episode 2.
Yeah. I think you're going to really enjoy it. There are a lot of shenanigans that happen.
Shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. And tomfoolery.
My goodness.
I know.
Well, no more spoilers.
Yeah. I know I've already given too much away. All right. So when you all next hear from us, we will be doing a breakdown of the entirety of season 4, part 1. We're going to have so many things to discuss. I'm already very excited because I couldn't wait and I just kept watching.
Good job holding. Oh, good job restraining yourself.
Thank you.
On the pod, not on the watching.
Yeah, no, I was just like, am I going to be able to make it through this podcast without spoiling everything? And the answer is yes. So,
good job.
Huzzah for me.
Good job.
We are excited here to continue to do this with you all. We hope that our viewership only builds more and more, our listenership, I guess I should say, the season continues to go on. And we would just like to continue being your favorite podcast duo.
Yeah, it's really, I love podcasting with LaTanya, and it's really fun that if other people enjoy it. So
yes,
we really appreciate you listening in.
Thank you so much for listening. I love podcasting with this Marissa Garza over here. support your Chicago sisters. I almost said that properly and then I didn't. All right. Did you know that we had a Patreon?
Yeah, I knew that part.
Okay.
I was going to try to fake it, but I couldn't.
But did you know? Oh. Signing up makes it possible for us to bring you podcasts like these.
It does.
Sometimes.
Look, I'm playing a lot. What?
Yeah. Hey, what happened? If you're a fan of me and of Marissa and you want more coverage of shows like You, or you want more of this dynamic duo, then please consider signing up for our Patreon at any level. When you do, you will get some very special patron perks, including our lively discussion channel of You, where we celebrated Happy You Day today. Yes. I'm very excited to see the comments start to roll in. There are tons of people who are happy to discuss your likes and dislikes on our patron Discord. So you can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps to support PSR and its podcasters. You can also check us out again on our own feed. We are at postshowrecaps.com/you podcast. So plug that into your podcatcher of choice. Please leave us the 5-star ratings and glowing reviews that we deserve. We want the ratings. Give us the ratings. Also, send us your feedback. You can do that by tweeting at us, and we'll give you that information in a second. Or you can do that by signing on to the Discord and telling us everything that you think about the show, about our coverage, and everything and everywhere in between. Find any good TikToks? Perhaps.
Love to see them.
We love them.
I would just ask that if you do binge ahead, not to spoil us up until next week, just because we will have, have to catch up. So if you do tweet at us or something, just give us a heads up that you're what you're talking about. That would be appreciated.
And be sure to use spoiler tags and proper etiquette on the Discord as well. So it's really just safest, honestly, to mark everything as a spoiler and just let us know.
Close your blinds on your conversation.
Close your blinds on that conversation. Just let us know exactly when you, what episode you're talking about, and mark it as a spoiler. And then we can all have a safe and happy and productive discussion together without being spoiled on the season.
I mean, we're talking about some pretty spoiled people.
Yeah, I'm pretty spoiled.
I meant the characters on the show.
Oh, okay. Yes, also the characters.
I was trying to make a funny.
I'm not as spoiled as the characters on the show.
No,
that's for damn
that's
sure.
Not what I was saying. I was saying we are talking about.
I got it.
Oh, okay. Well, yep. So we made it to the end of the podcast.
We did it. It's the end. thank you all for listening. Please stay tuned for more you.
Yeah. Would you like to tell the people where they can tweet at us?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
You can find me on Twitter at MarsBars, M-A-R-Z-B-A-R-S. Also, if you're interested in conversations about National Treasure, Edge of History, I just wrapped up coverage on that with Jess Sterling. You can find that on Potion Recaps. And this weekend and next weekend, you can hear me play Dungeons & Dragons in the setting of Willow. In the Willowverse on PSRPGs, which was super fun. If you haven't watched Willow, please go watch Willow because it's a lot of fun. But yes, other than that, if you want, yeah, Twitter's the place. Bars, M-A-R-Z-B-A-R-S. LaTanya, what about you? Where can people talk to you? Where can people hear you talking about?
You can hear me right now talking about a couple tiny shows. The Last of Us. Versus,
never heard of it.
Yeah, what's that? Versus Station 11. We just had a really good episode 4 because they were both kind of departure episodes from for the two seasons of TV, and both stacked up very well to one another. Interestingly enough, so that was really fun. I'm over there talking with Josh Wigler about all things Versus, where we take two TV shows and make them fight. And we've already figured out what our next Versus is going to be. I just can't tell you, but I will say that it's two shows that people have gone pretty wild about in the last year, the last seasons of the show. Shows.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
While you're
And then soon you'll be able to find me talking about my sweet little baby Grogu and Pedro Pascal. I just cover only things with Pedro Pascal.
It's not a bad gig.
Yeah, it's a pretty great gig.
I'd also like to cover all things Pedro Pascal, if you know what I mean.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, it's Pedro.
It's Pedro. we should get shirts that say, "Hey, it's Pedro." yeah, so you can find me talking about that stuff on Post Show Recaps. You can talk to me on Twitter at LK Starks, where I am talking about all kinds of things: movies, television, my life, my wife. And no, I don't have a wife. I wish I did. And just all kinds of other things. And you can find me on Instagram at Stormborn1222, posting the picture. Just one picture.
That's it.
Yeah, I just got one picture I post over and over again. See if you can figure out what it is. Yeah, that's about it. So that wraps up our coverage of season 4, episode 1. Please stay tuned for all of the lovely you that we have coming up for you in the near future. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Goodbye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.